What's up, guys? Will We Live, episode 25. We're contemplating whether or not we're going to call this season 2, episode 1, but we decided to just continue on. We've updated a lot of things, as you guys can tell. I've changed my office. I've changed the software that we're using, changed the lights, changed it so now we have a lot of segments on this show, so it's going to be a lot more professional, I guess you could say.
You've not changed your gender.
I have not changed my gender. Well, not yet. We're contemplating. Not sure. We have a new guy in the back, Spencer. You want to say what up, Spencer?
What's up, everybody?
We even got Spencer a microphone.
Yeah,
we're really upgrading things. So Spencer's going to be doing a lot of the stuff in the back. He works for PragerFORCE, which is our student program. If you guys haven't been here before, because I know it's been a while, we have a lot of new followers on my Instagram, PragerU, and all the people who are watching this on YouTube and Facebook. Will We Live is my podcast where every other Wednesday I go live to talk about things going on in the news, react to clips, talk about God, all sorts of things, do interviews with prominent people about things going on. I really love doing it myself. It's something that I take a lot of joy in. Been doing it for a while now, for months, and we're finally coming back full force where it's going to be every other week. So there's not going to be an episode every week. So I know we did that before, but now we're doing bi-weekly. So look out for it then. But today, as you guys can see, I think, am I pointing to it here, right this corner? Listen with Will. Says it on here. Listen with Will is the first segment that we have today, which is essentially my opening monologue. So you guys understand. We even made these cute little icons. You guys like that? I know. It's nice. We got a lot of really cool stuff now for this podcast. Listen with Will. Today we're talking about the border crisis and all the stuff going on there. If you guys didn't see, James O'Keefe came out with Project Veritas, where they had leaked photos of what's going on at the southern border right now with these overflow facilities. You know, they used to call them the migrant camps and all these other horrible things when it was 4 years ago. But now it's migrant or overflow facilities. They've totally changed the words, changed the meaning of what that actually is. And it's like, you guys look at these pictures if you've seen them. I mean, I wish we could pull up a picture right now. I guess we're still not that technologically advanced on this show. But if you guys have seen the pictures, it's like all of these different immigrants who have come into these overflow facilities, and they're in horrible conditions. And these conditions, I mean, Taylor, I think you agree, Spencer. I mean, these are like worse conditions than they were before. And you guys know these last 4 years, all we've heard from the media, from the left, I mean, we post anything on PragerU or myself about immigration or the wall, whatever it is, all we hear is putting the kids in cages, you're separating families, they're doing all these horrible things when it comes to immigration. And now that things have changed and it's, you know, new people, it's a worse situation than ever, you know? And so I'm trying to frame this in a way where you understand that it's bad for both. I mean, there's a conversation there to be had about the quality of these facilities and whether or not these facilities are good enough for people to be housed in. But then again, let's look at like what happens when you commit a crime in America. You know, if Taylor was my son, okay, which is Taylor's dream. If Taylor was my son and I committed a crime, let's say I stole from a jewelry store because I wanted to give my girlfriend something nice and I couldn't afford it. So now Taylor, he's with me in the car. I get pulled over by the police. They find out I stole the jewelry and they take me to jail. Taylor doesn't go to jail with me. My son doesn't go to jail with me. You separate the family. I mean, that's just common sense. Like if you come across the border illegally, you are committing a crime. You are literally committing a crime. That's what it is. And so all the people freaking out about being separated from your family when you come across the border, it's like, you committed a crime. That's what's going to happen if you commit a crime in this country. You get separated from your family. Again, we can talk about the quality of these camps. We can talk about the quality of where these people are sleeping. I mean, they were in like tinfoil blankets. It looked like Chipotle. They literally looked like Chipotle blankets. We made a TikTok about this, about how the guac is extra when you go in. It was very funny. But they're not great conditions, but if you do something illegal, you're going to get separated from your family. And I don't understand why people on the left aren't grasping that. I don't understand why they can't grasp that concept. But you know, the craziest thing is that these leftists who talk about, you know, being so nice to people and that we have to be so compassionate, they're now, we're not hearing anything about this in the mainstream media. Who are the leftists? You know, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, these big leftist organizations, these big leftist news outlets, they're not saying anything. Blue checkmark leftist journalists aren't saying anything about this. And then for the last years and years, all we heard was kids being separated from their families, horrible living conditions for these people, and now it's worse than ever, and we're hearing nothing. The media has gone completely soft on this issue. And it's like, why can the left get away with these kind of things, and conservatives can't. Conservatives can't get away with any sort of small mistakes, or you get canceled. You know, think about all the celebrities and politicians who say one thing wrong or something that came out from their lives 20 years ago. You immediately get canceled. But the left does all these horrible things, and you don't hear about it anywhere, and they totally get away with it over and over and over again. It's hypocrisy at its finest. That's why, if you can see in the little corner, I mean, this whole border crisis is leftist hypocrisy at its finest. And let's think about more hypocrisy with the left. The left, they gave hotel rooms to a ton of these migrants who have come in, right? We've seen some of them being put up in like 5-star hotel rooms that we've seen. And then look at what happened when you had the January 6th riots back a couple months ago with the National Guard in D.C. Where did they go? They slept in parking lots. They slept in parking lots that didn't have air or didn't have heat in them, freezing their butts off in the middle of the winter, and they didn't have anywhere to stay. But the left, I mean, that doesn't matter to them. They'd rather give hotel rooms paid for by our tax dollars to illegal immigrants than to the hardworking National Guard who actually protect our country. It's total hypocrisy, and it's totally terrible, and it just goes to show you that the left doesn't care about America like conservatives do. Conservatives would never leave these people out. Conservatives would never want to leave National Guardsmen out in D.C. in the cold winter. It's just not true. And it's funny because we're not seeing any more photo ops as well from Ocasio-Cortez going down to the border and taking sobbing pictures now. You're not seeing anything more of that. It's all total media hypocrisy. It's really sad that that's the state of the world that we're in now, where the left can get away with all these things and conservatives can't. Going into this, I want to go into our next segment, unless Taylor has anything else to add to this. Did you have any insightful insight? Oh yeah, we have a light. We have a light that blinding. Keeps going out. It's like it's overheating because I don't know.
It's we're making incremental progress here on Will Wit Live. We're back.
But, yeah. Yeah, they're still good. This is a very grassroots podcast. If you guys didn't, I mean, we have people helping us. We got some people here in support helping us at PragerU, but it's been very grassroots from the get-go, where it's just a few fun-loving guys getting together with some cameras.
Like true American capitalists, we're pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps on
this
podcast.
Well, AOC doesn't believe in that either.
I know.
So,
but we're doing it.
Yeah, we are doing it. But that's our migrant story for the day. It's total leftist hypocrisy. And going into more leftist hypocrisy, what we want to do next is, Spencer, if you want to switch it to the next segment, this is going to be very cool. Now, is it on Talking with Will?
Yes, it is.
Talk with Will. This is our next segment. Isn't this cool, guys? You guys can see.
Are you going to be asking him every time if the
Well,
if the
we
stuff
haven't
is
done
working?
This before, it's so true. I don't know. I have to like ask him every single time and make sure, you know. But Spencer's pretty sharp. I feel like he's going to do a good job. Talking with Will this week, we're doing a Bachelor roundtable. I don't know how many of you guys watch The Bachelor. If you're men watching this show, which I think a lot of you guys are men, but I know I also have a lot of moms who watch my show. So the moms, I'm sure you guys watch The Bachelor. I hope that you guys don't, if you're a man, The Bachelor isn't your favorite show. I hope that's...
I couldn't remember what a man is called.
Well, there's no clear definition
that
nowadays. So
these
I don't
days,
know anymore.
It's hard to keep it all straight.
I know. But... anyway, we did a roundtable with some people on The Bachelor. All of these Bachelor contestants are conservative. And if you guys haven't heard about the whole Bachelor situation now, I mean, the guy Matt James, he's this black guy. He's the Bachelor on the show now. It just finished. And he had a girl, Rachel Kirkconnell, who won the show. But then, like, a bunch of stuff came out about her that she was getting canceled for insensitive, like, wearing a colonial dress and liking a picture with someone wearing Native American garb. And this girl, she's like, they're calling her racist, but she's in love with a black guy. She's in love with the black bachelor, and they say that she's racist. How stupid is that? How stupid can you be? Anyway, so we did an interview with some Bachelor contestants who have been on in past seasons, Jordan Kimball, Garrett Powell, and Gillian Anderson, to talk about this and basically just about cancel culture in general. So it's super interesting. I had to have Sabrina, you guys know Sabrina, director of PragerForce. She had to come in and kind of be like the translator because I don't watch reality TV except for Survivor. Survivor is the best reality TV show of all time. I'd love to go on Survivor. I would love to be on Survivor.
You do a great job, Will.
I know. I'm an Eagle Scout.
Maybe. I don't know. I think you'd be like one of the first ones voted off the island.
Well, they vote you off the island because they know you're so good.
Well,
so if I got voted off first.
I guess that was a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor.
Or you just wouldn't be able to remember your Eagle Scout skills.
No, I don't think I could. How to do lashing. I was just talking about weather rocks the other day.
I don't know what any of this is.
You don't know what you did like church camp. I thought you would know what a weather rock is.
Speaking of church camp, stay tuned for a later segment with Camp Counselor Will.
Yeah, Camp Counselor Will. Yeah, mini youth pastor over here. Okay, but let's go into this interview. One sec, Spencer. Okay, feel free to switch it up. We're going to play this for you guys.
It's like, but people who actually come out and say, oh, I'm a conservative, I really believe this. Like, it seems like you're going to lose a lot and it's really hard. I mean, I know you guys have lost sponsors and things like that. But when you actually do speak out, you do gain so much more. And so speak on that a little bit for you guys on just kind of the reception, because I think a lot of people who watch my show, especially younger people, are really scared themselves to even speak out because of what happened to them.
Yeah, I'll start on this one. So I came out pretty early because, Frank, I was just fed up with it. I was fed up with getting called a racist for believing in a certain candidate last year. And I tell you, man, out of 100 DMs, maybe 98 were like, thank you so much for saying this. I respect you for doing this. I'm terrified of speaking my mind because I work for X company or because my friends believe in X. And or like, oh, hey, well, I'm alone in my friend group. I believe in the same thing, but I'm just so afraid to speak up. And that's when it really hit me. It's like, okay, I'm at the point right now where, like, if I don't speak up and, you know, Jillian and Jordan doesn't speak up, who else is going to, especially from a, let's face it, reality TV in general, social media in general, the Bachelor Nation in general is a far left leaning, they're all far left leaning organizations. And so I think for us to speak out on it, it does show people, hey, like, you shouldn't be scared. You're not a racist just because you believe in something. And that's, you know, that was something that happened to me too, where when I first spoke out about it, I was so unprepared for the response. I questioned myself and I questioned my own beliefs. And I was like, wow, like, am I a bad person? Does that believe this? But what it helped me with personally was I did more research on what I believe. I came more confident in what I believe. And I came out on the backside way more confident than I came in on my beliefs, and that, yeah, they are okay. And that's what I believe in. And it's okay to speak on it. And I think it shows young people everywhere, just by us three to begin with, that, yeah, you know, you should believe in this and it's okay to believe in this. It's okay to speak out on it.
Before we wrap up, you know, I kind of want to leave it, you know, we actually just released a reel kind of criticizing Rachel a little bit on bowing to the woke mob, and same with Chris, but I do feel bad for her, genuinely feel bad for her. And I'm curious, as contestants, do you guys have any advice for her now that, you know, she's off the show, she's been dumped? I mean, I would love for, we have a great graphic design department here at PragerU, but do you guys have any advice for her?
I mean, my biggest thing, and like I said, you know, I think guys experience the show a little bit differently, but they can definitely relate to us. But when you have, I think when you're on reality TV and it's, you know, such a huge one, you have people pulling at you in every different direction, and you have people commenting on you and commenting on your personality, your looks, your body type. I mean, everything, good, bad, ugly, nasty, and even from your personal life, and then to the public, to get just pulled apart, you know, on GMA or People Magazine, that's a lot. And you read it and you see it, and you see your celebrity idols that you like look up to on Twitter just making fun of you. And it's horrible. And we're all like wrestling with all these things of how we should be and how we should act and how we should look. And should I wear my makeup this way or dress this way because everyone's making fun of me? And I can tell you, like, they make you feel like a really bad person. And the biggest freedom I got, was when I gave it to God, and he said to me, like, Mike, you know, your confidence comes through me alone. And if every day I could put my head to sleep or put my head to bed knowing that he was proud of me, it didn't matter what my mom thought, the people who were writing those magazine articles, people who were on ABC, it didn't matter what anyone thought, because he was proud of me. And that was the only person who I cared about. Because when you're in the situation, you think about what everyone is writing about you, what everyone is saying about you. And it's a lot when you try to pay attention to all of it. But when you pay attention to him and what he thinks of you, nothing else matters. And you can go to sleep at night.
Well, thank you guys. I'm excited to start our own conservative bachelor. It's going to be awesome. I'll be taking applications now.
Are you the first contestant?
I have a girlfriend, so I can't do it, but
rig it so she wins.
Yeah, exactly. That's what conservatives do. Or maybe the left would do that. They're the ones who usually rig the election. So I think we'd have to change it that way. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. This has been Jordan Kimball, Garrett Powell, and Jillian Anderson. You guys can follow them on social media, support what they're doing. We really appreciate you guys standing out and being on the show today. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're back. I think we made a little mistake. I think I was supposed to play more of the interview. It didn't play the whole thing. Whatever. All right. We're pulling ourselves by our bootstraps. Yeah,
like
I literally just said this before, that it's a grassroots type of podcast. But this whole interview is going to be up tomorrow, so you can watch the entire interview. It's about 30 minutes long with a lot more interesting stuff about the host of the show being canceled, more about Rachel Lindsay, more about the show that just finished, and what you can do really if you want to be on reality TV. They give you all the insider scoops. So, but there's a lot more in there. That's about 30 minutes long. So I hope you guys check out that whole thing. It'll be up tomorrow. You can find it on PragerU YouTube, our website, our Facebook page. It's going to be up there if you're a Bachelor diehard. But they were great. They were super fun to talk to and really outgoing. And they had just great stories. I mean, just the fact that, like, you can't go on any sort of mainstream channel and be conservative without getting your sponsors dropped from you, without getting canceled by social media and all of the people you know. Like, it sucks. I mean, it just goes back to the leftist hypocrisy. They can get away with anything they want. They can do whatever they want. But if you're conservative, you have a target on your back constantly. That's why it's so important to, if you are a conservative, to be strong about about your conservatism and not be wishy-washy about it. Because if you're going to have a target on your back already, if all the mainstream channels, if all the universities, all these people, if all of them are already going to think you're lower than them, then you might as well own it. You might as well own it and say what you believe. You know, there's no point to cower around. And that'll go into a little bit of another segment we're going to talk about in a little bit. But for now, we're going to Will Reacts. Spencer, I have the video pulled up if you want to pull it up. Guys, this isn't me going back to my glory days of childhood watching a Barbie video. This is indoctrination. This is straight up indoctrination that you guys are about to watch from Barbie herself and Black Barbie. I forget, what's Black Barbie's name? I can't remember her name. Do you guys know? No?
I do not know.
No? Okay. Well, that's because you're...
I haven't played with many of those.
Only the white Barbies?
No, not those either. Sorry. Okay. I was looking on Google. I'm like, what is this called?
Oh, yeah. I don't know her name. If anyone knows her name, leave in the comments down below. But anyway, it's a conversation between these two made-up characters in cartoon form, and just watch, okay? We're just gonna give you guys a little taste of what this is about.
Have to talk about it. It's a tough call. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
So there is a huge movement going on. People, millions of people across the world are standing up to fight against racism, and they're doing this because too often, and for such a long time, people have been treated unfairly, and in some cases, even hurt by others because of the color of their skin. This stuff isn't easy to talk about, which is exactly why we have to talk about it.
It's a tough conversation, but I'm glad we're having it. People might think that my life looks fine, but the truth is, I and so many other Black people have to deal with racism.
Okay. You guys heard that? Okay, it's indoctrination so far, but it's not terrible, okay? There's nothing that bad going on. And I think this video came out like a month or 2 months ago, something like that. It's not like this came out yesterday or something, but all this stuff is all in the news and it's just wild. So I wanted to play this because I stumbled across it again. It's just, I never played on the podcast before. But it's fine so far. I mean, it's obviously bad, but just you wait. All right, here we go.
All the time. It's really hurtful and it can be scary and sad. And I wanted to share some stories about that today. Barbie and I had a sticker selling contest on the beach last month. We split up and went different directions to see who could sell the most. Well, while I was on the boardwalk, beach security stopped me 3 times.
What?
They asked me all these questions over and...
Wait, first of all, I don't know why they have these weird cuts in the video when it's animation. Why are they cutting the video like it's not that? Anyway, these are cartoons telling you a story about racism that cartoons experienced and trying to make you think that it's real for children.
And they even called my mom. I never told you, but that's why I sold a few stickers that day. The security officers thought I was doing something bad, even though I was doing exactly what you were doing. And remember when we were going to join that French honor club at school?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I made a perfect score on the entrance test, but when the teacher, who didn't know me at all, gave me my results, he told me I only did well because I got lucky. He said he knew I couldn't speak French that well.
What? You speak French better than all of us. Why didn't you just stay on...
Oui. That's French.
Très mal.
Eh, croissant. Eh? Selling stickers at the beach. Yeah. These are fake situations that is made up by this other Barbie. And this other Barbie is just listening to her like, wow, I can't believe that happened. And this, I get that something like this has probably happened in real life at some point in the world. Okay?
Not to Jussie Smollett, but to not someone. To,
yeah. Oh, yeah. We named the segment Barbie Smollett. I don't know if you guys can see the lower thirds on this, so you can tell what the title of the thing is. But it's Barbie Smollett. This is a cartoon. This is a cartoon that they tried to give real stories to, but they're fake stories. These stories aren't real that this girl is experiencing, but then they make it seem like that. So then little kids, little girls for the most part, maybe little boys, I don't know. I would. Anyway, little girls for the most part are watching this and thinking that the world is so racist. When these stories aren't real, these are fake stories that are made up.
I'm gonna prove I'm wrong.
I don't wanna have to constantly prove and reprove myself. He supported you right from the beginning and didn't support me. Usually when I talk about these things, people make excuses. They say things like, oh, well, maybe you should have had a permit for selling on the beach. But those are just excuses.
Yeah, you don't need a permit for selling on the beach. Just do it.
Did these things to me because I was black and they made the wrong assumptions about me.
See, because I was black, that's so annoying. It's a fake story. And they make it seem like this is so real and that if you go out on the beach with your white friend and you're black and you go and sell things, that of course you're just going to get stopped like all the time just because of the color of your skin. And it's like this is a fake situation that they made up to make it think that little kids are racist. Why do you think that little kids are so far to the left? I mean, I know there was like studies and things that came out that said Gen Z's more conservative than any other generation. I do not believe that at all. I talk to Gen Z kids on campuses and they are far more left than the millennials even that I talk to. They're so far left. And it's like because every single thing is racist. And it's not just calling out, you know, corporations for being racist, things like that. It's telling you that the world around you is racist and that all of these racist situations that Black Barbie is giving right now happen all the time, and there's nothing that you can do about it. It's just the way of the world. But they're fake situations. They're fake situations, and they brainwash and indoctrinate kids to make them think that they're real.
Sick. And they don't make those assumptions about white people like me. And that's not fair, because that means that white people get an advantage that they didn't earn, and black people get a disadvantage that they don't deserve.
Exactly. It's really serious. Some people even get hurt when others think the wrong things about them. That's exactly why people are marching. Because when enough of us stand together, people pay attention.
Right. Because when we don't say anything, we're just letting it continue.
Well, you listening and being supportive, that's helpful. It's important to keep reading and learning more about Black history. And if someone is being treated unfairly, stand up for that person. If we all work together, we can make a big difference.
Thank you so much for sharing all of this with me today. With us.
Yeah. It's not easy, yeah, but it's necessary.
So heartwarming.
I know.
Because, you know, whoever wrote this, like, script, it just feels like they did the world such a great thing.
I know.
Like, they're watching this like, wow.
It's literally some blue-haired UC Berkeley grad who lives in San Francisco now, who wrote this stupid ad, and Taylor's light went off, who wrote this stupid ad and is like, oh, this is so amazing. I'm so glad we wrote this. We're going to help so many people, you know? But I've talked about this before about, Spencer, are we back on just me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can exit out the video. All right. Yeah. I have to check on these things, okay? I don't know what's going on yet. But I've talked about this before about culture and how culture has become completely centralized in three major cities. You have Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York. Advertising agencies and marketing agencies live in these three cities, and then your culture that you listen to and watch every single day, Taylor's light went out again, that you listen to and watch every single day is controlled by these three cities. You literally have some blue-haired UC Berkeley grad who controls every single thing you see. You know, I at my speeches recently, I've been going and asking people this scenario where this is a real thing. I asked them to guess the brand that this is for, okay? There's a black guy, he's on the bus, and he's texting his dad, and he texts his dad, and he says, I love you. And then the dad doesn't text back. And then he goes back to his house, and he puts on a bunch of makeup. So now he's like, I don't know if he's trans or what, but he's putting on makeup. And then he goes to this party, And there's a bunch of other dudes there who are all in makeup as well. And then they're having a good little get together with wine. What company is that advertisement for?
The problem is it could be like any company now because everyone's doing this virtue signaling stuff.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, is it Geico?
15 minutes of makeup could help you save 50% or more on car insurance.
Is it actually a makeup company? I mean, you see men in makeup on like any woke
company. No, it's not a makeup company.
Okay.
You have any guesses, Spencer?
It's definitely not the wine company, I'll tell you that much.
No, it's not the wine company. No, it was Ritz Crackers. Why the hell is Ritz Crackers making an ad that like glorifies this? And then you're a cracker company, dude. Like, why are you making an ad like this?
They have white guilt over being called crackers. It's their apologizing drama. Yeah. It's their reparations.
Yeah, exactly. So we're crackers. So now we have to make a trans
to apologize black for commercial. Our cracker name.
I know. Yeah. That's really funny. No, but it's wild. And so like your culture, like I know we see these kind of things every day. You see these types of commercials and it's easy to kind of just like brush them off and say, like when I bring this commercial up. And people I've talked to, like on the left, and they'll be like, it's just one commercial. You know, who cares?
Right.
And it's like, you understand that this is like every single commercial. This is like, you go on YouTube. I watch YouTube a lot for a lot of stuff. And like every single ad is woke leftism. They're every single one. So it's in every single part of our culture. And this is why we see a lot of conservatives like going soft in some ways and not like really standing up for their values because, you know, they see what the left pushes so much every single day that it's like it's not even worth it to fight back anymore because it's so infiltrated in our society.
Yeah, we talked about that before on the podcast of like just how this constant push of an ideology on you, it gets so tiring to find the will to fight back. And it was like that with the lockdown. Like you have the restrictions and they're just, you know, it's like, these are insane. These are irrational. These aren't rooted in science, but you can only say that so many times and not be heard that you just feel like you start to lose the will to fight back. In the same way with the culture wars, it's like this stuff is so ubiquitous in society. It's on every channel. It's on every, you know, media platform. It's just everywhere. You can't escape it. It's in school. It's in kids' education now. And it starts to be like, well, you know, I don't really have to make a big deal about this one because there was another example that was worse a week ago. It's like, you know, and it's Dr. Seuss and Pepe Le Pew this week and or last week or whatever. But like every ground that you give up, you're not getting back. So, you know, unless conservatives are able or just not just conservatives, like people who want to live in reality. And that's the problem with like the, you know, the Smollett video. It's like, or, you know, with the Barbie Smollett thing, it's like since when is living in reality not good enough to where we have to invent this narrative of oppression and overlay it onto everything and write it into every movie and put it on every commercial? We just have to like impose this view onto the world because the world as it actually is not like that.
They literally have to make it up. People are so insecure and shallow about themselves and about what their actual self-worth is that they have to make up fake situations to make themselves feel better. It gives them a purpose in life. You go and then you make Black Barbie saying that she didn't sell as many stickers because she's black, and then you feel like a good person because you made this video, and it's like your video sucks and you're hurting people. You're making people's lives worse through videos like that. Because then little black girls and little white girls see that video and they think it's real. And then they think that their friends are racist. The little black girls think that the white friends at their school are racist.
And they think they're victims of the system. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like destroying people's lives who they think they can't overcome this. Like, oh, I'm going to go to the beach with my white friend. I just can't sell as many stickers. It's like, you can sell more stickers.
Yeah.
If you're a good salesman.
If you're competent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you, you know.
So, and I
can pull yourself up by your bootstraps like we do on this podcast. Yeah, with me in the dark with a light that doesn't even work.
I know. Well, it overheated. You're just so hot that it overheated.
That's, you know, that's my lot in life.
I want to eat some Ritz crackers now.
No, you're supporting they bow to the mob.
I know. I'm like a huge fan of boycotts. I don't know what you think about that. I'm a boycott boy.
Boy Scout boycott.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think depending on the nature of the boycott, I think, you know,
like Coca-Cola has that whole training where it says, we're kind of just keeping on going here, it's like Coca-Cola does that whole training where it's like trying to be less white, try to be less white.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not buying Coca-Cola after that. It's like a company that totally doesn't support my values and essentially hates me.
Yeah.
Why would I give them my money? Like, I'm not going to give them my money anymore. And I think that if more people, like conservatives, like we see these ads, like these advertisements from these leftist people, like, don't buy Ritz crackers. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to buy Ritz crackers. I'll buy Club. I prefer Club crackers anyway.
But see, nice the where this gets to be go off the rails for me a little bit is like, okay, but research the owners of Club and see if they've ever said anything woke or if they've embraced that stuff. And like, eventually it's like, I can't go to the Walmart without researching, you know, every product on the shelf, and you know you're going to find something. So what am I going to do? Not eat. So right. I think there's a place for it if, like, in specific instances where it's like, this is just too far and I do want to make a statement about it, but it gets to be like a little bit unrealistic. To
right.
Be
like, well, it's like, you got to do it on like a mass scale. It's got to be like, you know, something that blows up, like the Coca-Cola thing where it's a ton of people. And then you're like, okay, we're all going to band together to boycott this thing because it
sucks.
Or
make a hilarious parody skit of it and publish it and get millions of views and raise awareness of how ridiculous they are.
Woke-a-Cola.
Like Will Witt does.
Oh, I do.
If you haven't seen the Woke-a-Cola skit, you need to find it. It's on YouTube and
it's on PragerU.com now too.
Channels, yeah.
You can go watch it
everywhere.
Yeah, and TikTok too.
Website traffic that helps us the most.
Yes, please.
Don't give YouTube any more ad revenue.
Yeah, I know.
We say this on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. As we say it on there. Yeah, screw YouTube. No, guys, actually, going to our website PragerU.com and watching a lot of our videos there does help us, especially and with donations as well. You know, we're triple matching our donations right now for March. So if you guys are able to donate, it really helps us out going to PragerU.com and doing that, because you guys doing that helps us get a new light so you guys can actually see Taylor. By you guys, and if you guys want to see Taylor, I mean, you're missing out
right now with only half of my face in the darkness. I'm telling you,
they can see you right now in the dark. So.
Yeah, I was born in the darkness.
I know I did my impression of Bane earlier, but I don't want to do it again online because it's too, you know, don't want to put myself out there like that.
No, I know you're a little nervous. It's Taylor's first time back in the podcast for a while, so he's a little bit nervous.
Incremental progress. We get the lights on. I'll do my Bane impression. We'll just work our way back.
Yeah, I'll wear.
We'll get our videos right and our sound. Sorry, I saw some comments of the sound wasn't great in some of the clips. So
yeah,
sorry about that.
I think it was okay in the Barbie one. I don't know.
I don't think it was.
Okay. Well, whatever. All right.
Thank you guys for sticking with us.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us so far. I know my family's watching. So my girlfriend's watching. A lot of great people are watching right now. I think Trump is watching. So he texted me earlier. So pretty proud of that.
Which Trump?
All of them.
Barron?
Yeah. Barron. Yeah. Yeah. 7 foot tall.
You guys
TV.
Are like hair buddies.
No, we are. We're very similar. Yeah. All right. We want to move on to the next segment. Let's do it. I think that's a good segue.
Swoop over to the next segment.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This segment we're calling, this is our camp counselor segment, where I am a camp counselor here at PragerU Church Camp. No, not really. I don't want to be preachy, and I don't want it to be annoying at all. But I was recently baptized. If you guys know, you follow me on social media. It was my most liked picture ever. And people have always asked me to talk about these things more. And as I've gotten more and more involved with my faith and going to church every weekend now and reading the Bible almost every night, I feel like I really want to talk about these things now. So this segment, Word with Will, it's not me preaching to you, but it's kind of taking just lessons from Scripture and really how those apply to your own life. You know, take it as you will. I think, in my opinion, I mean, this is what I did when I was an atheist. You can take these lessons regardless. You can be an atheist, you can be a Christian, you can be Jewish, Muslim, whatever you are watching right now, you can take these lessons and values and put them into your own life. So I wanted to do this recently. I was thinking, I was in a speech the other couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that, in the OC for this group called Legatus, which is like a Catholic.
Did you just call it the OC?
Did I say the OC?
Yes, you did. Like,
oh, damn,
a non-native.
I didn't mean to say
that. People did not get that I was being sarcastic.
I know, they didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, not the OC, Orange County. Jeez, okay, sorry. Orange County, all right? Newport Beach, the NB, as we call it, as we call it here. Anyway, I'm in NB, and I'm giving this speech, and I did a whole thing for this Legatus group. It was like a Catholic group, right? A Catholic business group, if you guys have heard of it. And this lady at the end, she was a grandmother, and she asked, she said, okay, I have my grandkid, and with my daughter, I'm wondering if I should send my grandkid to a secular school, like a secular public school, or to a Catholic school, but this Catholic school has kind of abandoned its Catholic values and adopted essentially the Church of Leftism. People at this Catholic school, teachers and executives, or executives, right? Is that the right word? Whatever. People like in charge of school have said, you know, they're pro-choice. They don't necessarily believe in mother and fathers in the homes. They didn't believe in gender, really. You could be any gender you want. And I when I answered this question, I had to think about it, but I told her to go to the secular school. I told her that you should send your kids to the public secular school. This goes into the verse, as you guys can see on, which is Matthew 6:24, which is no man can serve two masters. And I think this is really important because it's something different where it's like every single person, every single day, essentially, we sin, right? I mean, that's in scripture as well. Every single person, every single one of us is going to sin. That's totally how the world works, how it is. But when you give yourself a moniker, right, you label yourself as a Catholic school, you tell people, or a Christian school, and you tell people that you are teaching scripture or you're teaching the word of God, and then you pervert that message and teach the totally wrong thing, I feel like that's much worse than secularism. I went to a secular public school. I came out now as a Christian. But imagine going to a very leftist Catholic or Christian school and learning all these things that they tell you are Catholic or Christian and then trying to break free from that. And so I think that's a huge problem. Of course, you should go to a real Catholic or Christian school above a public secular school if you can. But schools that have these schools that say that they're Christian or Catholic that actually are more... or just have abandoned those values, it's one of the worst things you can do in the world, you know? So going back to the verse, no man can serve two masters, you can either serve God as your master or you can serve the God of leftism. And people in their own lives with their own vanity choose to serve the God of leftism instead of God, right? If you want to be an atheist, whatever, do your own thing, that's better than you saying that you serve God and then you actually serve the God of leftism, because you are totally betraying all the values you stand for. Again, people sin. Everyone sins. It's in our nature. That's what we do. But when you give yourselves the title and the moniker of saying that you are this and then teaching people the wrong view, the wrong perverted view, then that's something horrible. Then that is something terribly wrong. And it's the same thing with conservatives. You know, we see this with conservatives where people say that they're conservative and then don't actually represent those values. They don't represent conservatism at all, you know? And that's a big problem because it totally dilutes everything that we're talking about. Again, thinking about like some of these mega churches that have turned far to the left, these pastors doing things for their own vanity, their own clout, for their own wealth. They serve either the God of leftism or they serve the God of themselves. And so it's one thing, you have to be able to distinguish between people. So it's a skill and something that comes with practice and just talking to people and knowing more people. But to be able to distinguish genuine people and genuine, what's the word I'm looking for? Genuine faith, I guess, is a truly important thing. It's really one of the most important things you can do because we all stumble, we all fall, but being genuine in your faith is really the most important thing you can do. And that's no matter what you believe in. Anything? Yeah.
Amen, Pastor Will.
No, wow. Thank you.
I think you're totally right. I mean, it's like a school shouldn't have the moniker of, you know, hey, we embrace these certain values when they're not really embracing those values and living up to them in practice. And in the same way, like you're saying, whether you're a Christian or, you know, a conservative and you're living, you have the moniker of Judeo-Christian values or I'm a Christian, but you're not living those in your life. And that's exactly the type of thing that Jesus called people out for and stood against. And, you know, people will not take you seriously if you don't have integrity, if they don't see in your life that, you know, the way that you're living is lining up with what you say you believe. And so either drop the label and be honest or, you know, live up to what you say.
Right. 100%. Thank you, other youth pastor Taylor.
Tag team in the camp counselor. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Spencer, let's switch to the question. The first question. Thank you guys. I hope you liked that segment. If you guys like that segment, let me know in the comments right now. I'd like to hear what you guys think about that. Cause you know, in no way, shape or form am I a Bible expert, but in 24 years of living my life and meeting, I mean, literally thousands upon thousands of people, talking to thousands upon thousands of people, I mean, doing all the things that I do, having, you know, a level of clout myself, I feel like I have a lot of wisdom in the things of how to adapt to situations in our lives. I've gone through a lot of different stuff, so I hope my insight was helpful for you guys. Spencer, would you read out the question? Because I don't remember what it was. We took these questions off of Instagram. If you guys don't follow me on Instagram, @TheWillWit, follow me there. So every other bi-week, I ask you guys to submit your questions for the show, maybe different themes or topics. This week was kind of just open-ended, and so some people asked me some questions, and we're going to go through them now. You guys can see them on the screen.
Yeah, so we have
Kelsey Allen, 89, asking you, are you moving to Florida?
Kelsey, I wish. I wish I was moving to Florida. I think a lot of people do. I think most people in California wish that they were moving to Florida. I was just in Florida. I was in Florida for a whole week. For 6 days, I stayed at the Trump Doral Miami Hotel, which was absolutely amazing. I stayed in West Palm Beach, which was awesome. I mean, it's just the greatest place. As you guys can tell, I don't know. Actually, maybe the lights are kind of blowing me out. But I got a nice tan. I wish we would have done an episode like 2 weeks before so we could compare the tans. But I got really good. But it's like also like no masks, you know, people not caring about the social distancing, restaurants indoors. You know, Governor Newsom, I mean, he was so generous to let us come back to open gyms at 10% capacity. How nice of him. How generous. Or to have restaurants open at 10% capacity indoors.
I think it's 25, but yeah.
Oh, it's 25?
Feeling very generous. Yes.
Okay. Well, at my gym in my apartment complex is only 10% capacity. Yeah. And then you also have to have a sign-up sheet. You have to have a sign-up sheet for the gym to be able to go in, and then you also have to do a health screening beforehand. Like, why would I even work out? I've been sitting on my butt for the last year, getting fat, and just eating horrible food. Actually, not horrible. You guys saw my Instagram. I make Chipotle chicken better than Chipotle. But
if you get the vaccine like they want you to, then they'll give you free Krispy Kreme afterwards. So you can go back on your couch and not be healthy eating Krispy Kreme.
I'm in. What about Ritz crackers?
You can have some of those too.
I'll take some of those for sure. Anyway, Florida is amazing. I love Florida. I actually went to Mar-a-Lago. It's a funny story. I went to Mar-a-Lago and the Secret Service guys are there and they're like, you have any weapons? And I'm like, only my killer good looks. And the guy's like, get out of here. So I go and valet my car. But I valet.
You're under arrest.
Yeah, you're under arrest. Get him on the ground. And then that was the end of the trip. No, but I walk in. So I valet the car, walk in to this like living room. It's one of the nicest places ever that I've, it's like amazing. So I don't know if you guys have ever been, probably not, but it's awesome. You know, I have.
You snob.
You know, no big deal. But
oh my gosh.
No big deal. Went to Mar-a-Lago, you know, what are you gonna do? Anyway, walk into this room and there's like a receptionist. She's like, what's up? I'm like, what's up? Walk into the next room. There's like this living room and the man's just sitting there. He's just chilling there on the couch doing an interview. And I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, hey, good to see you. I'm like, he's like, I'll see you downstairs. I was like, awesome. Thanks.
You're going to get that like, tattooed on your arm now. I'll see you downstairs.
Yeah, exactly. Right here. I'll see you downstairs.
He said it to me.
I know. He said it to me. Crazy. But I was like, I was a little nervous.
You could have told that story better, just been like, and then he looked me in the eye and he said, I'll see you downstairs.
Yeah. And then I was carrying my Subway downstairs and he had a noose and said, this is MAGA country.
And a white Barbie came and said some racist things.
And I didn't sell as many stickers that day. And it was pretty traumatic. No, anyway, that's my Mar-a-Lago story. But he didn't end up ever coming downstairs, actually, which was pretty unfortunate. But I was a little nervous. I don't usually get nervous, but that made me a little nervous. I get kind of nervous when it's just me and Taylor in here discussing podcast notes. But other than that, anyway, this has gotten way off track about why I want to move to Florida, okay? But PragerU, we're stationed in Los Angeles, so
fighting the good fight.
Find the good fight here because we believe
we just had a new personality move from Florida to LA.
Yes.
And we made a vlog documenting her first trip. Will took her to Hollywood Boulevard, and so she was very disappointed with what she found there, but you guys should go check that out on YouTube. And
yeah, check out the vlog. It's a lot of fun. It's something different that we haven't really done before, but it's cool. And that's on PragerU.com as well. You guys can go check out.
If you want to see how terrible LA has gotten and what you want your city and state not to turn into.
How long have you lived here?
4 years.
4 years? 4 years, yeah. Okay. I'm at 4 years too. Just about like 3.5 now. And
I don't know
it's
if
even
that's
gone
a long
worse.
Time, you know, relative to other people or not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's felt like a long time.
A lot of people are leaving. They really are.
Yes.
Half
I mean,
my
we made the documentary. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's just because the homeless dude outside your window.
Yeah. He was there this morning.
He was there this morning?
Yeah. There's a homeless man who sleeps outside my bedroom window like a couple nights a week. And if I call the police, they will not come unless I say there's a suspicious person. If you say homeless, they won't bother to come.
Does he greet you good morning when you wake up?
I have had, there are guys digging in the trash in the alley, like when I walk to my car because my parking spot's like in the alley. And they like wave at me now, like just they're digging through the trash, picking for the cans and stuff. And I'm just like, hey, it's your neighborhood.
It's like so normal. Yeah. It's like it used to be, I mean, at least when I lived in Colorado, like you saw homeless people occasionally and you'd feel really bad and you'd give them like a couple bucks or some food that you had like in your car or whatever. Yeah. And now it's like they're everywhere.
Yeah.
It's
And they feel entitled. Everywhere. Like, it's not, and you know, the government here has trained them to like expect to be treated a certain way.
Well, they had
like
the whole thing today. They had the whole thing today. Oh, there was a protest, which we wanted to go to, but we got to do the podcast today. But it was like 400 people showed up to Echo Park because the California government was finally going to do something about homelessness. They were going to take down all the tents.
Yeah.
And then 400 people came and protested them and said, no, you can't do that. I don't know the full story like, about it. This was what I heard.
Woke like activists were like, no, you can't move these homeless people out of here.
I know.
You can't make our city cleaner and better.
I know. Not even the homeless people went and protested. It was just like woke, they were like, whatever.
Blue-haired Berkeley grads, like you said.
I know. And all the leftists like came out in droves for it. It's wild.
It's the city we live in. It's like you deserve the city that, you know, to be in the state that it's in if that's the things you're advocating for.
But I know. And it sucks.
I digress.
Anyway, I want to move to Florida. I want to move to Miami. I want to move to Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood. Hopefully the people at PragerU are watching this and know that. Well, they already know that. I say this all the time. I say this every day to everyone here.
I'm Team Nashville, but Florida's great too.
No, team Nashville over here. No. I love Cuban food. Not actually. It was a 7 out of 10. So, but I love Miami. Okay, next question, Spencer. Thank you. I hope we answered your question well. I'm sure we did.
Yeah, so we have Priscilla J. Santiago asking, do you like reading and what are your favorite books?
I love reading. I'm a big reader. And my favorite book is The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. It's a classic from the 1800s, 1891, I believe, is when it came out. It's a great book. This book, again, was a very influential book to me, changing my mind about materialism and things that I actually valued in my life. Essentially, it's this guy. He's this beautiful guy, you know, reminds me of myself, just beautiful young man, you know. And he is so beautiful that this artist decides to paint a picture of him. And he paints this picture of him, and then this other guy named Lord Henry corrupts Dorian and says, you know, being young is what matters most and free, whatever. And then he curses the picture, and then he kind of makes a deal with the devil, and the picture gets old and withered and rotten while he stays young forever, essentially. That's like the premise of the book. And it's really good because it's like your soul withers away and destroys itself while your outside body stays clean. And so it was really eye-opening for me, especially I read it when I was a freshman in college, and I was doing some pretty stupid stuff my freshman year of college, debaucherous and just not where I should have been in my life. And so it was a big wake-up call for me in a lot of ways. So that's my favorite book. Crime Punishment, another great book. Dr. Seuss, favorites. I know you can't find those anymore, but great books.
Classic. He's based.
Based Seuss. Those are my favorite. Old Yeller. Absolute classic. Love books about dogs. Call of the Wild.
I didn't know that was a book. I just know it was a sad movie that I never want to watch again.
No, it's good. Or Where the Red Fern Grows. I love books about dogs.
Clifford.
Yeah, Clifford the Big Red One. That's my boy right there.
Z-Spot Run is our Will's favorite books.
Yeah, exactly. No, I love dogs. So, hot dogs, all kinds of dogs.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoopy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are my favorite books. What's your favorite book?
I'm not as much of a reader. I'm a podcaster, but I don't know. My go-to answer for this though is like the Jonathan Haidt wrote The Righteous Mind. It's a nonfiction book.
Oh yeah, we talked about this one.
Yeah, with the PragerForce focus group. But anyway, it's an awesome book just about like moral psychology and how people don't reason their way toward what they believe most of the time. You feel something and then your mind justifies what you feel. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like helpful to try to understand that in yourself and understand where your own biases are, but also how just everyone is not, you see the outrage culture that we're in and the media and all this stuff. It's like something happens in the world and you turn to one channel and it's all spun one way, and you turn to the other channel, it's all spun another way. And like, it's like that on social media. You see your friends. It's like, how do you see, you live in the same world as me and you see the same facts as me, but you interpret it in a completely different way. And there's actually like research to show that they have moral intuitions, that they feel a certain way about it. And then their mind is hijacked by their intuitions to justify what they already feel. Right. And so how do you make sure I'm not doing that? And then how do I try to, you know, approach discussing things with someone like that?
That's why I want to bring leftists on the show. That's what I was like texting you about this morning. I want to bring like people on who like we can find common ground on things to like talk about, just to like, I think there is like with just the whole political world and everything, it makes it seem I mean, I was just giving a whole thing about how what the left does. But I mean, a lot of that stuff is true. That is leftism as a whole. But when you look at it, when you take it down to an individual level and look at people, you'll see that it's like, yeah, there's a lot more that we agree on that you don't understand. And it goes, like, you don't even know.
It goes back to what you're talking about in the Bible, the word with will segment where, you know, if you find somebody who's intellectually honest, you can have a conversation with them. But when you have someone who's ideologically possessed and, you know, they're not having original thoughts, it's just like they're a puppet of this ideology. And that's not like, you're not interacting with a human at that point. You're interacting right. with someone who's just, you know, not, it's not an honest conversation, but right. where you can have honest conversations. And I feel like that you tend to find that more with liberals, like hardcore leftists. It's very hard to like find people who you can actually engage with and talk about ideas on their merits and stuff. But when you, I feel like there are plenty of liberals out there who you can actually talk about things and you share the common ground of facts and reality to talk with. And you're not talking in terms of like, you know, the woke Barbie, Jesse Smollett
I know.
World.
I know.
Yeah.
Guys, I appreciate you tuning into this episode. Or Spencer, what's your favorite book? Do you have a favorite book?
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah. Anything
C.S. All right, guys. Lewis. Thanks so much for... no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Say, what's your favorite book?
Anything from C.S. Lewis. Mere Christianity.
Oh, yeah? The Screwtape
yeah,
letters.
Yeah, yeah, and then Narnia. I mean, that was a childhood.
My girlfriend just read Narnia. Well, she just read the... She Lion, finished the... Well, she read the first one, The Magician's Nephew, and now yeah. I was reading my copy of The Lion, the Witch, and Wardrobe. Fantastic. And then, what's the next one? The Voyage of the Dawn Treader? Is that third or is that fifth?
Oh, God. A while
because then it's Prince Caspian. I don't
he's
know.
Not actually reading, you're just grilling him right now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so what happens in chapter four, huh? You remember Strawberry the horse turns into Fledge? That's
you need that's to watch more of the book club. So
yeah, yeah, watch the book club. Club. I know.
The book club,
yeah.
You'll, yeah. you'll be able to answer these questions. Did you intelligent answers. Sounding?
Thing. We just watched the movie. We just watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movie, too.
Great movie.
It's not very good.
Well, Turkish Delights,
okay. Turkish. May I have some Turkish Delights, sir? Or Queen, your majesty? No, but it was. The Lord of the Rings is just so much better in the movie front. I think the books are, I like both books, but the movie is way
right
better.
With you.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much better. Extended anyway, issues. What was I bringing up about this? We watched a movie. I didn't realize that the guy who the house that they stay at, the four siblings, the guy who the house they stay at, the professor, he was the guy from the first book.
Mind blown.
Crazy. Wow.
I don't all think my, anyone knows what we're talking about.
All my Narnia fans out there are just like,
all I remember is Mr. Tumnus.
Mr. Tumnus. It was... All right, we don't have to talk about Narnia anymore. I mean, I like Narnia.
Book anyway. Discussion next week.
Yeah. About Narnia. Yeah, the whole podcast next week is Narnia hour.
Reenactment with Will Witt.
Yeah, I'll wear a scarf yeah. and grow a bunch of hair on my legs. I'll be Mr. Tumnus.
Who's going to be the White Witch? Sabrina.
Oh, probably Craig.
Craig, he's very pale.
Craig is very pale. You guys remember Craig is pale. He's definitely the White Witch. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I know we had segments and then we kind of got off the rails a little bit for fun, but that's kind of just how this goes. We're a pretty loose podcast and it's a lot of fun. I love being here with my friends and all of you guys who tune in and watching this and supporting us, everything that we do. Remember, if you like this, share with your friends on social media. Let your mom know. Let your leftist aunt know what we're doing over here at PragerU and with this podcast. Thank you again to Spencer and Taylor for coming on and doing this with me. Remember, go to Apple Podcasts. These are uploaded the next day. These are uploaded on Thursday on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google Play. And then on Apple Podcasts, please rate it 5 stars. Write a nice review. It'll really help, especially now that the show's coming back. If you haven't gone on Apple Podcasts and given this review, it means a lot if you do that. It really does. And it helps us reach more people so that we can get this out to more people to be educated and learn a lot more. So anyway, guys, thank you. Follow me and PragerU on social media for more. And we're guys going to see you in 2 weeks for the next episode with Lights That Work. Peace, guys. Thanks.